With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Random question: Love Island Australian boys or Love Island UK boys?
Will. Will is the answer.
Safe answer there. I was hoping I was going to get a juicy one there. Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. A lot of you are going to recognise this next guest. If not by her face, then you'll definitely recognise her by her accent. From season 9 of ITV's hit dating show Love Island and coupled up with the famous farmer Will, Jessie gave us a taste of that Aussie fire back in South Africa earlier this year. Alongside being a TV personality, Jessie is also a qualified personal trainer and wants to change the way that we view the fitness industry. She wants to help people fall in love with themselves and with exercise in a healthy way. So welcome to the studio, Jessie.
Does it feel weird to be here on your own?
Yeah, it's like, where's Will?
I don't know if I'm ready for like Will and you together because I feel like that's a lot.
Oh yeah, we've got two big personalities, so.
Does that work though? Because normally when you see couples, like one's the introvert, one's the extrovert.
So I'd say I'm more introverted. Okay. I'm like an introverted extrovert.
Okay.
So I'm like, I can be really, really loud and out there, but it takes a while for me to warm up. So it's really nice having Will because he's that really extroverted personality and he brings that confident extroverted side out of me. So it's a good balance.
So obviously you met Will through Love Island, but everyone knows that you were on Australian Love Island beforehand.
Yeah.
And I've had so many people ask me questions about the differences between the two and like how you got to being on the UK one. So what made you want to apply to Australia in the first place?
Okay.
Or did you get scouted?
Yeah. So I was 22 when I did the application for Love Island Australia. And I'd just gone through a breakup, but the breakup was about 9 months before and I'd been with that guy for years and I was so heartbroken. It was 9 months later, he'd moved on and I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just like applied for Love Island. At this point, I hadn't even watched Love Island. Like I didn't even know what I was actually applying for. Did it as sort of like a piss take. Like I was just like, do this. Applied for like Miss Universe Australia and just was doing all these random things. Applied to go to the army or police force. Like girl was just having a full reset. And out of all the things to come back to me, Love Island Australia actually did. So I continued to do the process and before I knew it, I was casted for it. And at this point, like I literally didn't even know what I was in for. The only reality TV shows I had watched before were Big Brother Australia and Geordie Shore.
Wow.
So.
Two very different shows, right?
Yeah.
But how did it come about that you were going to the UK one then?
So I was actually approached and it was not that long before I actually went. It was pretty sudden.
Okay.
So, one of my producers from Love Island Australia pretty much just reached out to me and said, are you still single? And I was like, yes, I've been single since I came off your show.
And then you were just on a flight to South Africa.
And pretty much, yeah. So I had like a few Skype calls and whatnot. And I didn't really, I feel like before I went on Love Island UK, I was so happy and content with where I was in my life. I really hated being single. I was like on the hunt for a boyfriend. I said to my friend, I was like, I'm getting a boyfriend before I turn 27 because I'm sick of it. The universe is bringing this to me. I'm manifesting this. So it was pretty random that I just randomly got this offer for Love Island UK. But yeah, a couple Skype interviews. Obviously we had to do like the psychology tests and all the standard testing that you have to do to go on a reality show. And I still just like kept myself like, oh, if I go, that'll be fine. But if not, you know, my life's pretty good where I am. And before I knew it, it actually happened. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with stuff like that, it just happens very quickly.
It did happen very quick. And even when like even when the producer like reached out to me, I was like, yeah, like that won't happen. I was in Bali and I was like, oh yeah.
Living our best life in Bali. No, it's really weird. It must have been, did you ever have to sit there and think about actually doing it? Or was it just an instant yes? Because even if you go in with a game plan of like, I want to get followers, I want to be famous, there is also a possibility that you could meet someone, but they're British. So you would have to like work out the logistics of a relationship.
So it's actually crazy that I ended up going because I was so close to not. Okay. I was so happy with where I was and the thought of actually going to a different country really scared me. And the thought of finding a connection and having to commit to coming over here. When I actually sat down and thought about it, I was like, do I really want to go through coming off a reality TV show again? Because it's intense when you come off too, and it's a massive change to your life.
Yeah.
And it had been 3 years since Love Island Australia. And I was like, I feel like I've separated myself from that Love Island image. I'm myself. I'm settling back into normal life. Like I actually do want kids in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. Is going on Love Island again at the age of 26 going to rewind me back to where I was?
Yeah.
So I came very close to actually not going because of that factor. But then on the other hand, I was like, if I went on the show and I didn't find a connection, I do get to come back to Australia and the show's in the UK.
Yeah.
So I get to go back to my home and fingers crossed things would go back to normal for me if that's what I wanted and if I didn't find love. So in hindsight, I kind of balanced it out and I was like, look, worst comes to worst, I just come back to Australia single. And if I do find love, it'll be worth the move.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I actually have never seen an episode of Love Island Australia. So I don't even know if it's as big or as intense or, you know, the following and the reaction is the same as it is in the UK because we're upset. We're like a nation obsessed. And I'm sure you don't know that now when you leave the street, when you leave the house.
So I'm like a very much just a, I kind of am a bit of an airhead. Like I just do things. I don't want to, I have two ways of going with things. I either overthink it or I'm just like, okay, let's not overthink it and just don't think about it at all. So I kind of switched into this mode. I was just like, let's just go with the flow, switch your brain off from all these overwhelming thoughts, go on it, see where you end up. When it came to being in the end of the villa, some other people in the villa were speaking about like, oh, like you're going to get recognized in the street. And it just clicked to me and I was like, this is a lot bigger than I think, isn't it, in the UK? Because in Australia, like I'm from the country, you can kind of retreat back to where you're from. And I could just kind of hide away. So it was a bit of a shock at how big Love Island UK is over here.
It's a lot of the questions I had actually from people were about like what life is like now in the UK that you're like moving. It's not even like you've just moved another country in Europe. You've literally moved from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Have you actually moved? Like, have you guys decided to settle here or there?
Yeah, I'm just winging it. So I don't really know what our plans going forward are, but I am loving the UK. Like, I think the UK is just amazing. It's just so fun here.
Australians love the UK and I just don't get it.
No, I love it here. So I will have to go back to Australia, visit my family, swap my suitcases over finally. Still got all my Love Island bikinis and whatnot, but I do plan to come back to the UK. I don't necessarily know where we would 100% settled, but right now we are very much settled at the farm. Like I've been living there for the past month and a bit. So, And it's been nice, like, going back to the farm instead of being in the city. I think that is one thing. If I had have, like, come back and gone straight into the fast-paced London life, I just don't know if I would have been able to cope with that. But Will and I obviously just adore each other, and we've just been spending wholesome times out on the farm with his family. And whilst it is the other side of the world, it is actually a similar lifestyle to what I had in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I grew up in Tasmania, right at the bottom, hour away from my school. Like, I'm like proper bottom of the world, so countryside. So it kind of feels like a home away from home, which is nice.
So that's like really scary, because I'm assuming you've moved in with like Will's family.
Yeah.
So you've literally gone from like not knowing this guy to like in the matter of like a couple of months now living with his family.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why things got so intense in the villa as well, because Will and I cared about each other so much. But there's also that factor of being in the villa. I was like, what if we get out? And he's like, I don't like you. I was just tricking you. Like, you don't know, because you're in that bubble. So I think towards the end of the villa, I started to get so stressed and anxious, because I was like, oh, I really, like, I'm in love with this guy. I don't know if we're going to get out of the villa, and he's going to be like, jokes, you can't come to the farm. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so sad.
It's like, that's the thing as well. People don't really realize is that you don't actually know like what the plan is or what someone else is thinking. And it's so hard when you're spending 24 hours a day with that person.
No, and like, you're in that villa, you don't know anything about them. It's you're taking everything for face value. And that's really hard. That's really scary. And I think the fact that I'd been on Love Island Australia made it scarier, because I knew what it was like coming out, and I knew that people do change when you come out. So I just had this big fear factor that, like, if we come out, maybe he'll be different. Maybe he won't like me. Maybe he doesn't even want a relationship. But in the villa, I was just so in love with him that, yeah, it was really scary.
Random question. Love Island Australian boys or Love Island UK boys?
Will.
That was Will a safe, safe answer there. I was hoping I was going to get a juicy one there. But no, like, were you ever... meeting someone's parents, meeting someone's family is scary. Living with them is like a completely different ball game. Are you not terrified?
Do you know what? I think I was terrified. But like I said before, when I start to get like... when I start overthinking things, I just switch it off in my brain.
Yeah.
So it was like, there was a period where I was like, oh, this is really scary. This is stressful. Anxiety started creeping up. And then I was like, all right, let's just not think about it and just go in, like, switch that flick off and don't think about it. So I kind of just, maybe I was running on adrenaline or something. I don't know.
You're a braver woman than me, because I would have, my commitment issues would have been like, nope, time to leave. But it's, I always want to talk, I've had quite a few Love Islanders like in the studio, and I always want to talk about their plans afterwards. And, you know, you've spoken about how you'd worked so hard previously to try and move yourself away from like that stigma that people associate with Love Island. And you are a personal trainer, qualified.
Yeah.
And you want to go back into like doing the fitness industry stuff. A lot of people were like, when is she going to come back with the fitness content? Because we're waiting. And I was like, guys, I don't know what you want me to do with that. But like, what do you see life after Love Island looking like?
I definitely want to go back into fitness. Fitness is like my passion. I've loved it. Like, ever since I was a kid, I'd be like 10 years old making my 7-year-old sister come do workouts in the backyard, like run around the backyard and do little relays and stuff. Like, that's just always been a huge part of me. So I really would love to go back into that. I think at the moment, Will and I have been so focused on grounding ourselves and making sure that like we are a strong couple still. So pretty much for us, like, it was like, let's focus on us, let's get settled back into normal life, keep humble, working on the farm. We've done a nice romantic holiday, keep the love alive. So once we're feeling a little bit more settled, that's when I'd probably look at going back into the fitness side of things. And I really love doing fitness and training face to face. I know a lot of it is online now. Fitness content, I will get there eventually, but I would love to start doing face-to-face again, just because I think it's so lovely being able to interact with your clients, and I just love that side of it, like the social aspect of it.
So would you see yourself in the gym being a personal
trainer?
Yeah,
baby, I love the gym.
That's really weird. You normally hear about celebrity clients, but not necessarily celebrity PTs. So would you, I don't know, like... I guess your gym's not that far away from me, so maybe you can be my PT.
Oh, done deal.
But like, is that, do you want to just go back into like training face to face, or like, what is the bigger picture for you? Like, what is your biggest ambition?
I would love to bring as much of my fitness knowledge to other people. So, you know, having a look at what I can do down the avenues of social media, yes. But I think for me personally, first, I want to start off by getting back into the gym, just because like it also is really beneficial for me and my mental health to get out. I love social media and what it does, but I think for me, I'm a hands-on person, so I love to be there and present. So getting back into the gym is my first stop, coaching clients face-to-face, and then down the track, we'll have a look and see what we can do social media-wise.
You said about your mental health, one of the questions I was asked for you is about your anxiety.
Yeah.
And how did you find going to the gym? Like, how did you figure that out, that that was a coping mechanism for your anxiety?
Yeah, I feel like because working out literally releases endorphins, and I feel like a lot of people can even relate to gym anxiety. So people, you're scared to go to the gym, but once you go there, it's fine. You do your workout and then you feel good afterwards. You can kind of apply that to generalized anxiety and normal life. So when I started out in the gym, I was like, I don't want to go in here. It's too scary. You've got people lifting weights over there. I'm not going to be as good as them. Force yourself in. I'd go do my workout and I'd feel so good afterwards. So I take that little process and apply that to managing my anxiety in real life. It's like my anxiety tells me I don't want to do things, but I remind myself once I actually get there and do it, I'm going to feel so good afterwards. And the gym is just like, releases natural endorphins. It's so good for you. It's a time for you to sit and focus on yourself. You can put a podcast on, you can put music on and just relax.
I know that you're obviously talking about how you do love social media, but you prefer to be face to face. We know that there's a lot of like fitness influencers and fitness content out there. Do you ever find a lot of the content that is out there can be quite toxic to people?
Yes, I do. So I got caught in this trap when I was younger as well. I think it's really hard because there is a lot of great fitness content out there. A lot of people that have great knowledge, but I just think sometimes you need to be mindful in the way it's conveyed, because some people can take the advice they're given quite literally. I remember when I was like 18 years old and I saw a fitness influencer say, if you want to lose weight, just lower your calories. So what did I do? I lowered my calories. And what did I do after that? I just kept lowering. And it just, that was really unhealthy advice. Even the advice from fitness trainers being like, the way for fat loss is calorie deficit. Same thing. It can be quite toxic, and I don't think people will necessarily mean for it to be toxic, but people, when they want something, they will just pick small bits of information that they want to and almost obsess over it. It's really sad. So that's one thing as well. If I were to bring my fitness content to social media, I do want to make sure I do it in a way that really reflects my stance and my views on fitness. And I don't want it to be damaging, because I know when I was a young girl, obsessing over these people on social media and their fitness content, I went down that path. And the thing is, you can look at your favorite fitness influencers. You can see exactly what they eat in a day, how they work out. But the thing is, genetics have such a big part to play. Everybody's bodies are different. You're not going to look like your favorite influencer, even if you ate like her and worked out like her.
What are your thoughts on influencers selling like workout plans? Because not a lot of them are qualified.
That's really awful if they're not qualified. No. So yeah, this is an avenue that it really does frustrate me, because people just don't understand how damaging it can be. And that's something I'll never do. I will never flog a exercise routine or program just to make money off it, because it is so damaging, so bad. I feel like, but I will be so honest, if someone came to me and asked for fitness advice, the first questions I would ask them is, what's your sleeping pattern like? Because before we even get you doing an exercise routine, you need to get your sleeping pattern right. I'm not going to make money off telling them that they need their 8 hours sleep. But these small things are what is going to achieve their actual fitness goals, not sitting on your bedroom floor doing 500 ab crunches or whatever people are trying to sell.
It's like, do you think it's down to the pressures that social media put on particularly young women to look a certain way?
Yeah, I feel like health isn't about fitness. It's not about having abs. Health is a rounded thing. So there are like, I love the approach of the four pillars of health. So you've got your mental health, You've got exercising, like physical health. We've got sleep and relaxation, which is so important, which are actually two, which I just combined. But yeah, so you've got your four pillars of health. Health is a rounded thing. If you have good mental health, you're more likely to have better physical health. If you're rested, you're more likely to be less stressed. If you're getting good sleep, it all ties in together. Your mental health will be better. Your physical health will be better. Selling a workout program that just tells you to work out for 40 minutes a day or whatnot, that's not going to achieve overall health. And your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And when you are sleeping and you're relaxed, you're able to think better. When you're able to think better, you make better decisions, you end up eating better, and you're probably going to be more motivated to exercise. So for me, it is like an all-rounded thing, and I don't see flogging little exercise routines at people as the way to achieving health.
You were talking about how you used to look at fitness influencers and like literally cherry pick what they were doing and lowering your calories. What made you want to do that in the first place?
I know. Do you know what? So it does, it kind of comes from a place of not being confident within myself. And that's also another thing as well when it does come to the whole fitness industry online. It's like I felt like I wasn't good enough, but I felt like that person on social media was good enough and she was pretty enough. So what did I want to do? I wanted to be like her instead of loving and appreciating what I was. It's a really dangerous trap to fall into, and it's taken me a long time to get to where I am with my confidence and my mental health and my physical health. But once I really started to actually build on my confidence and loving myself, that's when my physique essentially became more fitter and stronger, because I was loving myself and respecting myself. I wasn't forcing myself to do workout programs I have no passion behind for no reason. I wanted to exercise because I knew it made me feel good.
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but when you leave a show like Love Island UK, you get loads of like a flurry of young women that would be like, how are you so confident?
Yeah.
And what would you say to those people if they were to ask you now, like, Jessie, how are you so confident?
I don't even know. I feel like it is quite sad. People ask me how I am so confident, but like they don't see the meltdown I have before I leave the house or, I feel like, for me, what really drives me to be confident is because I know I can make other people smile and I can inspire hopefully other people to be confident. I don't feel confident all the time, but I know that confidence and happiness and vibrance, that rubs off on other people, and that's exactly what I want to do. I want other people to see that, you know, we're all different. Like, we all deserve to be confident and happy within ourselves. And I do like a lot of journaling, positive affirmations, and just reminding myself that even on those days where I don't feel as confident, like, I'm still worthy. Everyone's worthy. And I think you've got to treat yourself like you'd treat your best friend. If you would not say something to your best friend, don't say it to yourself. Like, you can't be mean to yourself, because in hindsight, you're the one person you're stuck with. Like, no matter where you go in life, you're going to be stuck with you. So treat yourself like your best friend, because essentially when you do see yourself as someone you love, you'll be able to be so much more happier and bring happiness to other people.
No, I'm going to pull out my phone with all the Instagram questions. Lots of people ask me questions about AFL.
AFL? Oh, we
Are
love AFL.
Are you a big AFL fan?
Yes, I love AFL. So that's Aussie rules football.
I literally have about a million and one questions about your like area getting their own team.
Yes, let's go Tassie.
I was like, why are people asking me about this?
That is really random.
I literally don't know anything about it.
Okay, so in Australia, football for us is our own Australian sport. It's called Australian Football League. You can bounce the ball, kick the ball, run with it, tackle, mark. It's like a mixture of everything. It is my favorite sport. I played it for a while, loved it. And every state in Australia has a team except the state I'm from, which is Tasmania. And it has just been announced that they're getting they're getting a team, which I am so excited about. So
I can tell by the elevation in the pitch and your voice, yeah. You're like, I'm so excited.
No one over here knows about AFL. So it's like, you guys say football and that's soccer to us.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I was like, why are so many people asking about AFL? Like, I was like, I don't know what this is. And I had to like Google it. Obviously, you and Will went to Paris.
Yes.
Recently, lots of people asking you about the wedding hints you guys made on social media.
I think we accidentally made those wedding hints.
Okay, so you're not getting married.
No, there's no wedding planned at this stage.
But you did say you wanted kids in the next 5 years, so.
Yes.
Would you want to be married before or after?
I don't know. I probably would want to be married before, just because I feel like, oh, that's actually a really tough question.
And I'm asking you without Will, so yeah, Will can't say anything. Like,
if Will was here, he'd be just be like, yep, we're getting married, we're having kids.
Oh, really? So he's not like the freaked out type?
No, it's the other way around. He freaks me out about it. I think it's a baby thing that freaks me out, because I'm like, I'm not ready to carry a baby in my stomach for 9 months. Like, oh, yeah. That's a big thing.
He has the easy job in that part.
Yeah, literally. I'm like.
But I guess as well, I was about to compare it to lambing, but that's really not the same thing.
No.
Really bad comparison.
And
on my
I have seen how those lambs come out, honestly. Lambing hasn't done him any favors in making me want to become a mom, because, yeah. Pregnancy.
I was really thinking, this is a really random question, but with farmer hands and like. Being in a relationship, like, surely they're like really dry and like gross, right? Asking such a weird question. This is something that went in my head. I was like,
he moisturizes. He's well groomed.
You should put like rubber gloves and put moisturizer in them. Get him to wear them to sleep. That was just something that came into my head really randomly. But I know we'd already briefly talked about like Love Island and the transition between like Australia and UK. Obviously because you'd done Australia before, people automatically jumped on the bandwagon that you were only doing UK because you wanted to be famous or you wanted clout or whatever. And you were branded fake because bombshells always get to watch the show before they go in.
See, that's so stiff though, because I was in lockdown and got my phone taken off pretty much as soon as I got to South Africa.
So you didn't know anything about any of the people that were there?
So I did get to see their promos on Instagram. Okay. And I did get to watch the first 2 episodes, but it was like...
Which is nothing, basically.
Literally, and no offense, I didn't find the first 2 episodes that, like... I have a really...
I just said no offense to me, I wasn't in them.
No, so. No offense. I have such a short attention span, like I can't watch movies. If I have TV on, it's on in the background. And okay. I like look up, glance, laugh, but I can't follow a storyline. Like the girl's got no attention span. So I watched like the first 2 episodes, but I was like, while I was like cooking on this little laptop. And so I just had no clue what was going on. So yeah, I didn't actually know what was going on when I went in. I didn't even know if we were still going to be there. So obviously like I knew the characters and whatnot or people, but like I didn't know who was going to be there or what the go was and who, because I know for a fact that like in there, anything can change in a day.
Yeah.
I don't know who was going to be coupled up. The first few days are always in shambles. So, yeah, I had no clue going in.
So, because there were a lot of people asking about how you dealt with the narrative of being branded fake.
It's so weird that, like, because obviously I couldn't see what the outside were saying. And in the villa, everyone was actually really nice to my face. So I just kind of was unaware that I was being branded like that until towards the end.
So I didn't actually watch your series. So like the first time I met you was the first time like I knew anything about you.
Yeah.
And do you always get, I mean, now when you're out of the villa, do you always get a bit annoyed that people have these like preconceptions about you based on what they've seen?
I feel like Will and I've just been in our little bubble. So it was really easy to like not get sucked into that. I did know that like after Love Island Australia, like when I did come out, I found like the feedback and the negative criticism quite challenging, which is one thing that kind of made me not want to go on the show. But I was like, just do it. Like you'd kick yourself if you didn't go back on Love Island UK. Like you're single, it's a once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime opportunity. So when I went in, I just had to really mentally prepare myself and be like, yeah, people are going to say things. There's going to be negative criticism. And if I go on the show, I'm putting myself in that position. So I guess that's just something I had to...
What was the negative criticism like? Was it based on like things that had happened or was it based on physical appearance? Because in the UK, it's quite heavily based on how you look.
Yeah. So Love Island UK, Love Island Australia, I did get comments about my body because I gained weight in the villa. So that was challenging.
Everyone gains weight in the villa. I know. Because you can't exercise.
Yeah. And I was just having the best time in there. So I think that was one thing that like was on my mind. And then I went through 4 couples in Love Island Australia.
Okay.
And so like that was just like a lot because it was like almost like 3 breakups. One person they're excluded. I wasn't attached to them. But it was like, it was very intense, the emotional roller coaster of the relationships. So then to come out and then see like clips and stuff of you with people that you look so happy, I was like, this is so much in such a short period of time. So that like really stressed me out with that on Love Island Australia too. So which is why I really just had to, I said to myself, if you're going to like do this, you're not going to sit around like I did with Love Island Australia and sulk for 6 months. Because after Love Island Australia, I put myself in a shell and I kind of like isolated myself a bit. And I just told myself, like, you're not doing that again if you go on Love Island UK. So I was like, I'm going to come in and put my eyes in positive light, hopefully find someone who sees life the same way I do. And I was really lucky that it all worked out and I found someone as positive as well because we've both been able to be so positive since we've come off.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's always articles floating around about people's relationships and stuff, and every time I see one about you and Will, it's always the most random thing. Like, you always are always doing something really random. But also my favourite thing was when you guys were being really touristy around London. That was, like, the sweetest thing I've ever seen. I was like, oh, guys, they're so wholesome.
And it's just crazy that I was able to meet someone like that. Like, I hate to say it, but I feel like the universe, I'm like kind of like a manifester. I like to think that if you do put your head in the right direction and in a positive light, you will find other positive things and positivity will be drawn to you. And that's exactly what I did, and I found Will, and I just think I've never met anyone so suited to me and someone that like kind of sees life in the same way as me. So, and it's just crazy. Like, we're from the other sides of the world and we're put together in this villa.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big fate, isn't it, really?
100%, because if Will wasn't there, I don't think I would have found a genuine connection in the villa.
I was going to ask you, like, did anybody else catch your eye? But then if you just said that, then...
Yeah, I don't think I would have genuinely fallen in love with them. Like, I might have been able to, you know, get along with them for a while, but I wouldn't have been able to come out and fall in love and move into their house with their parents. Like, I was just even, like... With all my dating experiences, I've never found anyone like Will. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I followed Will on TikTok for a long time, and that is one unique character right there. Like, it's the dancing in the mud with the lambs that used to crack me up all of the time.
Oh, my God. When I came out of the villa and saw those TikToks.
Did it give you the ick, or did you find it endearing?
It was, okay, it was a bit like... I was like, whoa, like you do these types of TikToks. It was just weird. Like, not weird, but I didn't expect that. Because in the villa, everyone's like, oh, he does TikTok. And I was kind of in the villa, like, I can't imagine what type of TikToks you do.
Dancing TikToks.
I just didn't imagine the rolling in the mud, but absolutely love it. That's 100% his character.
So someone, obviously, you know, you've touched on quite a lot about your anxiety and how, you know, finding your fitness journeys really helped you and about how going in and out of reality TVs impacted your anxiety as well. Is it something that someone asked if anxiety is something you've always had, or is it something you've just experienced as you've gotten older and been able to deal with it as you get older?
So potentially, yes, always had it, but I wasn't actually aware that it was anxiety. I just thought it was the way I am and the way I see life. So I have ADHD, so anxiety is actually a massive part of that. And I just was never educated or knew anything about this. So once I realized that I actually was struggling with anxiety and what the cause behind it, that's when I was able to manage and work on it. And I've like done a lot of self-development and self-help because I just thought that I didn't like life and I was scared of everything. And, you know, I kind of went down that path of depression. But when I actually started to see a psychologist and to work through that, they were like, you actually probably struggle with anxiety a lot more than depression. But it's the fact that you're not aware, so it's making you depressed in hindsight. So once I became aware of what was causing it, I was able to work through it. And it's not that I didn't like my life or that things were bad. It was just I would get really scared before I'd do things. So, yeah.
Have you been formally diagnosed with ADHD?
Yeah, yeah.
And what was that like?
It was really scary because I didn't understand why I was the way I was, like never understood it. And when I first got diagnosed with ADHD, the first thought that went through my head was like, so this isn't curable. This is me forever. And I think that was like a really overwhelming thought. Like other things you can cure, but I was like, oh, I'm stuck. I was in a point of so much pain and confusion at that time in my life that I just wanted an answer. I wanted to get help and I wanted to get out of it. So when I got that diagnosis, it was just like I just felt really deflated, and I actually didn't handle being diagnosed with it very well at all. I was very dramatic about it.
What would you do again differently, like knowing what you know now, if you were to be diagnosed as an adult? I'm assuming you were diagnosed when you were younger.
Yeah. So I wish I did more. So they gave me books to read, which is one thing that I never read, because I was like, babe, I have ADHD. I've never read a book in my whole entire life.
That's an interesting gift for someone who's been diagnosed.
But I do think I would have taken it more seriously and done a bit more, just looking into it and learning how to understand how and why I function is one of the best things I've ever done for myself, because it's made me so alert. And whenever I feel a way, I can now tell, is this how I feel in the moment, or is this how I'm always going to feel? Is this just a part of the way my brain works, or is this how life is? And I'm able to really ground myself. So even when I do have like really anxious periods, I'm kind of able to sit back and be like, okay, is this anxiety speaking or is this you speaking? And then I kind of move forward through working through it there. However, in the past, like with my ADHD, I was so reactive because it's those fast like changes of emotions, and I would like almost get like a little bit hot-headed, and like I'd grab my head and like a bit of overstimulation, and I'd shy away from it and kind of withdraw myself from situations. Whereas now I can really stop and be like, okay, you need to think, is this how you feel, or is this how you want to be reacting? Because I know it's not how I want to react, and then I can kind of work forward from it.
Did that have a lot of impact on like your relationships with family, friends, and like dating?
Yes, 100%. Like, I've always felt very different, like just even my emotional responses, and I would be so confused, and the people around me would be so confused. Even my teachers back at school would be like, she's a good kid, she's a nice gal, but what the hell? She just like, but yeah. And you know what? If I could do my like ADHD diagnosis over again, I probably would have gone into therapy sooner and counseling. I felt like at the time I was almost in denial, and I was like, I don't want to be like this, don't want to have ADHD. And I just kind of like, I fell into like a rut. I just want to isolate myself, and I quit my job. I was like, oh, I can't work at this job because I've got ADHD. And it was really intense for me. I kind of wish I could rewind the clock and actually just speak to someone about it, because I held all these emotions inside and I didn't want to tell anyone that I had ADHD, because there's like stigma around ADHD. There's nothing to be embarrassed about whatsoever, but I felt that way. So I kind of wish I could go back and be a little bit more kinder to myself.
What would you tell younger self now? Your younger self now?
If my younger self could see me now, she wouldn't believe me. No. I honestly would give myself like the biggest hug ever and just promise myself that it's going to be okay. And it's a bad day, it's not a bad life, and you're going to get through it, and, you know, stay true to yourself. And I probably would tell her to speak out to people, because what I did was I just kept all of this inside, and I didn't understand how I felt, and I was never going to understand how I felt because I would never vocalize it. And I felt like back then, and I still do feel like it a bit, if I speak to people about how I feel, I'm a burden. Like, I don't want to tell people I'm upset because I don't want to make them upset or worry. So back then I would do that, but to an extreme extent, where it was almost like I was always smiling, but it was because I was trying to deflect how sad I actually was. And people were like, you're so positive, you're so happy. And I was like, okay, cool, that's good. That's what I want people to think. But actually inside I felt awful and I was scared. And I just would tell myself, like, don't be scared. It's such a normal thing. And if anything, the people around you are going to respect that you're speaking out about it, because it's going to help your relationships with them. It's going to help you to love yourself. And yeah.
I think, is that something you'd want to talk about more, like as your career goes on?
I'm like, I don't know if you can tell, I'm like, I'm getting nervous talking about it now, yeah. Because I've never actually really spoken about this, like, especially like I've told Will and stuff, but it is scary because it makes you very vulnerable. And I know that the way I dealt with things in the past, like, wasn't actually the best way, but I have learned so much from it. And I would always give, if anybody was ever struggling with anything, honestly, if I can give everyone a big hug, I would, but the thing is, like, it all does come down to being kind and so patient with yourself and just like reminding yourself that like it's okay to not be okay and it's okay to be confused about how you feel, because I think that was the hardest thing. I was just so confused and I didn't understand why, and because I couldn't vocalize why I was confused or what was going on in my head, I would feel like I actually didn't know how to speak out. But
what would you say to somebody who's listening that feels exactly the way you felt?
I would tell them that you are not alone, and the way you feel is, it's not weird. It's not bad, because I felt so isolated. I felt like I was the only one that felt that way, and there was something wrong with me because I was so confused and I had all these emotions and my reactions were different. I want them to know that, no, like, how you feel today, it's not going to be that way always. And there are other people out there who may feel quite similar, and I just would never want anyone to feel isolated. Like, you're not alone. That's what I would say. I would say you're not alone, and there is a way out, and there is sunlight at the end of the tunnel. Even if you don't see it, I promise you there is.
Yeah. Are you okay, by the way?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. I don't want to like say something to you and then I don't want to upset you. Opening up about your mental health and your emotions and how you feel is really scary, especially on such a like a public platform, and yeah, where there are, you know, you've got over 850,000 followers now. Like, it's a lot of people to like feel vulnerable and open up to.
Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure, like the pressures of social media now that you're re-entering the real world?
Yeah, I almost feel sometimes guilty, because I feel like a lot of people, especially that are in similar situations, they can pick up on other people that feel that way and are going through the things they're going through. So I do get a lot of people actually ask me questions, and I'm still like, I have a long way to go in terms of learning, and I would never want to give bad or incorrect advice. So what I try to do and like is hide away from it and almost pretend that I'm not like that. Like, it's not that I'm embarrassed that I have ADHD and that I've struggled with my mental health, but there is still that part of me that is just a little bit confused, and I have I've pulled myself back from speaking about it. And I think like it's actually quite refreshing that I have kind of got this off my chest.
Yeah.
Because I do feel guilty that there are so many people out there that I could help feel comforted and I haven't already.
It's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
You personally shouldn't feel like you have to take that on.
Yeah.
And I think it's one thing that's really scary about like this kind of industry is that sometimes when people put you on a pedestal and then you're like, oh, like you feel the pressure of like trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
And that's a really hard thing to do, because you never can, especially without putting detriment to yourself and like not fulfilling what you need.
Yeah.
As much. And I guess it's really nice that you have Will and the farm to basically retreat back to when you need to.
Yeah.
Is that why you love the countryside so
yeah
much?
Look, I just love being with, I know, I love social media. I don't get on my Instagram stories and like talk and stuff very much, because like I'm just, I don't know, I feel weird talking to the camera.
It's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, because you're just making eye contact with yourself. Like, I don't want to sit there and make eye contact with myself. But I like to keep social media a bright, happy place. So with our TikToks and like our little TikTok vlogs, happiness, I think social media, like you can open your phone up and see something awful. You can wake up in the morning and you can see something so negative, something that's going to ruin your day. So for me, I want to bring happiness and light to social media, and that makes me happy. And the fact that it could be making other people happy, that's where I get the fulfillment from. So
someone asked if you've got any big plans, whether you and Will would like to do a TV show on the farm.
We've got so many questions about this. We haven't got any big plans in the near future. Sorry to let you guys down.
ITV needs to hit you up and get you as a Country File show. Like, I always, my parents used to watch like Country File and all those things. It would be great to have a younger version.
Honestly, if you saw, like, Will and I are two very chaotic people. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know how we get through day-to-day life. Like, honestly, we are just chaotic. That's all I can say. It would be entertaining. Like, it is entertaining for us on the farm, just living it ourselves. It would be amazing to show that to other people, but a TV show is a very big commitment.
But she didn't say she wouldn't do it. So, you know, maybe if ITV hit you up, then there could be something there. Someone asked what your favourite parts are about the UK.
My favorite parts about, do you know, I need to just like travel. I need to get out more. I'm always at the farm. The farm's my favorite place at the moment, being with Will. You guys have really good food here. I think the food's like the takeout food.
I turned around to everyone else and everyone's like, no.
Nah, I'm obsessed with the food. I don't know what it is. Like,
what are you eating? Because maybe
I'm takeout. I mean, takeout all the time. Uber Eats, Just Eats. You've got so many different options. Like in Australia, I just eat Macca's all the time or McDonald's.
I'm just thinking, what is on Deliveroo that I've not seen yet?
Oh my God, you're Chinese. Like the Chinese food, that's good. That stuff's good.
I was just sat there thinking like I've never heard anyone say that British food is good.
No, I love it. It's the takeout. Like I just think the takeout food is, it's like fast food, but your fast food's better.
Have you had a roast dinner yet?
I have had a roast dinner. Delicious.
Yorkshire puddings.
Yummy. I don't know why we don't do that in Australia.
I don't either. Like it baffles me that I had
But it is Yorkshire. That's in...
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
So somebody said that they loved you, but they wanted to know if you'd ever watched bits back from either of your shows.
No, only what I see on TikTok. So I remember once in Australia, I was getting my teeth whitened and my housemate did it as a prank, put Love Island Australia on. And I was sitting there, I was like, get it off. But I had a teeth whitening thing in my mouth. It was like, I was in a chair with teeth whitening and they put a bit of Love Island Australia on. And that's all I've seen from Love Island Australia because I just can't. Like, it's weird seeing yourself on camera.
It is. It's weird. And I don't think you'll ever get used to seeing it.
Yeah. Have you watched yourself back?
Only when I sit there and they play it when I'm like doing interviews. But I've seen my own VT about 10 million times and I never want to see it again. And every time I see it, I'm like...
Literally, I did see a little bit on After Sun when we did the After Sun Live. They played some clips and... I think they made it look funny. Like, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Okay. But no, I haven't watched it back. I've lived through it. I don't need to watch it.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's also bad for your mental health because you know how things happened.
Yeah, it kind of makes you like replay it in your head. Like, yeah. Oh, that's not how it was. Like, nah, I'm like onwards and upwards moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. Just there's no point in getting stressed over things you can't control.
Exactly.
Someone asked what the most challenging thing is that you found since leaving.
I think like the fact that I'm in a different country and I haven't gone home, that's actually been really challenging, believe it or not.
I mean, it's a challenge for anyone, right? Like being away from your family.
Yeah, no, but honestly, everyone's been so lovely to us. Like, oh my God, the DMs I get, the little TikTok edits people make for us. Like I am so blessed. I do just have like that every now and then I'll have a moment where I'm like, this is so overwhelming. I get really tense and I start to get a bit anxious, but I'm so blessed that I've got Will by my side because he's just helped me through absolutely everything. Every time I will be like, I want to cancel this event. I can't do it. He sits down. He's like, you can do it. I'll be there by your side. So yeah, I'm so grateful to have him.
Oh no, that's really sweet. And I also watch him open all your posts for you.
Yeah. Even those I'm like, no, I can't open it. It's too much stuff in the bedroom. Like I start to get real stressed and he's just like, it's fine. I'll open it for you. And he rips into them. And
I was watching him opening that box of fake tan and I was like, that could go very wrong.
I know. He just like gets the bag and rips it open. I'm like, I am so sorry for anyone watching this because some people get really frustrated when people don't open boxes right.
I'm one of those people. Yeah. So I was literally watching and I was like, this like, is going to go so wrong. And you have white bed sheets. And if the bottle splits, it's going to go everywhere. Like I was having major anxiety watching that story for you. I always ask guests a similar final question on the podcast and it's, I always ask, what would you say to people in the past or people in the future that, you know, maybe doubt your success or doubt your potential based on the fact you're a woman and for you as a woman who has been diagnosed with ADHD?
For me, nothing's getting in my way. Like I will keep on finding that sunshine and keep on striding. And how many times I get knocked back by people, whether that's because I'm a female, because I have ADHD, I will always strive through. I will find a way.
That's fair. Like, it's really nice. You have to keep telling yourself to keep going and find that little bit of sunshine. And it's really weird to hear that it's British Chinese takeout and being on a farm. It's literally my childhood and I would love to be anything further away from that.
Mate, I'm from country Tasmania, bottom of the world. Like, I grew up a dirt road. I came from more country than Will. So I'm like really easily pleased. Like,
oh, okay. So I was going to say, yeah. Like, how is he going to convince? Like when I saw you, I was like, oh, Australian beach babe going to the farm. That's going to be carnage. But no, that's.
No, I'm like, when I got to Will's farm, I was like, oh, you have neighbours. We don't have that where I'm from. The girl is easily pleased. So no,
that's really sweet. But also, thanks for doing the first podcast without Will. It must be really weird.
Missed him, but it was really nice having a girl's chat. And
I'm really grateful and like thankful that you opened up about your ADHD. Like I know it's not easy and I could see that it was quite hard. So I really appreciate that.
No, thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Sorry, I was like, I don't want to ask you like, someone said to tell you that you're amazing.
Oh, that's so I thought so
that'd
gorgeous.
Be a nice, they're amazing a nice as bit well. after just trying to make you upset.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.